We are in the second part of the story on breathing and the breathing cycle. The first part explained why it is so important, because actually it recapitulates the sleep cycle. The first part also explained why it is tricky or potentially risky, because with your voluntary mind, you are going into the involuntary body processes. And if you're not careful, if you're not attentive, if you're not alert, you can actually create big problems for yourself. Certainly it's your life, and it's up to you to learn these things, because when you learn them, you can actually expand your consciousness immensely. But it is all about being sensitive and appreciating the body in what it is and what it does. The exercise of the breathing cycle is quite simple but very profound, because you need to connect the levels of your breathing to feeling what happens with the oxygen coming in and the carbon dioxide going out. So you need to monitor your oxygen saturation level and your carbon dioxide hypersaturation levels. So you need to know what you're feeling for. Also, you need to know how your body is being oxygenated or acidified as a result of improper breathing or proper breathing. And evidently, you will experience it as the health of your body by the way your cells are being nourished by the breath that you're taking in. So in that sense, there is a reason why in China and India they say that air is vital. Some people even say air is alive, to stress that point. And so when you do these exercises, be cautious, be sensitive, and be very careful at what you're connecting up to, because that is what you're learning. You're learning to understand the body processes, body functioning at a deeper level. Okay, starting point for the breathing cycle is that you inhale and exhale, and that you are aware that you can pause between exhalation and inhalation. There are very many breathing techniques and breathing manuals which you can consult on this. So please do so. If you haven't done so, do that first before you go on. Because you need to be aware that when you inhale, when you hold your breath, when you exhale, when you hold your breath and inhale, you're actually doing more than breathing. You're starting to connect up to the body cycles and the body rhythms. And how important that is has already been explained in the story of Mathemusics. Our body is a song of cell cycles interconnecting as organ cycles, connecting as a cord that is formed by our body. And so in this breathing, you actually connect up to that. So when you breathe, you inhale, you exhale, then the purpose is to start feeling how much you are breathing, and then slowly going into a shift of connecting up to the body as it is breathing itself. Most of the time you are not aware of your body breathing, and as a result, most of the times you're not aware when you block or interfere with the body breathing, such as when you have an emotional shock or when you're doing something. But as a result, you lose connection with your body. So the whole purpose of this exercise is to reconnect to the body and to become aware of the way in which the body is already breathing itself. So this starts with understanding that when you are breathing, your chest will expand and contract. to some extent, your diaphragm will go up and down. And to some perhaps lesser extent, your abdomen goes up and down. And with your hands on your chest and your abdomen touching very lightly, you can actually use your hands as a feedback monitor so that you can feel to which extent your chest is expanding and contracting and to which extent your abdomen, your belly, is following that movement. And then you can learn that you can breathe into the lungs, into the belly, and back from the belly into the lungs and back out again. You can also experience that you can breathe in, go from the lungs to the belly, from the belly to the lung, from the lung to the belly, from the belly to the lung, from the lung to the belly, and back out again. Those are all breathing techniques. And as I mentioned, there are many descriptions of those, and it is good to learn them, practice them, and get experience with them before you do this kind of breathing as we're talking about here. Because with this breathing, you are then feeling for the rhythms in the body. And so you start with a feeling of the rhythms in your chest and in your abdomen. And once you have those rhythms oscillating, you in a way step back from what you're doing with the breathing and start to feel for and look for what your body is doing in that breathing. And when you do that, you can discover that it is not just your lungs and abdomen swelling and decompressing when you're doing that breathing cycle, but that other parts of the body participate as well. Your shoulders, your hips, your arms, your legs. You can even become sensitive that your head is participating in that too. It means that in a way you're resensitizing your awareness, that you're using the rhythms of your breathing to connect up to the rhythms of the body. And one of the easier ways to do that is to shift your attention from your breathing to the heartbeat, which is the circulation in the body. And that instead of using your breathing as the guideline for what you're doing, you use your heartbeat as the guideline for your breathing. Which will mean that your breathing will stabilize and connect to the heartbeat and the circulatory rhythms, as you can feel it in the pulsation in your wrist, in your throat, in your ankles, and throughout the body. It takes a while to get more sensitive for this and into this, and that you can feel that there is a pulsation in the body as a whole at that level. And you might be surprised that you discover that when you go into the feeling of these pulsations, that there are actually pulsations on pulsations. That it could be that you're feeling the arms stronger than the legs, or the upper arms or legs stronger than the lower arms or legs, or the other way around. And that in a way you can feel that there is a shifting of those pulsations in your body. And once you become aware of that, and it takes a bit of time to do that, and it takes, let's call it training, attentiveness, alertness, sensitivity, subtlety, to start to feel that, that there is actually a field of oscillations in your body, which you can feel much better if you focus on your breathing, because then you can see how your breathing goes into the body, goes into this circulatory rhythms, and then goes into the body rhythms. So a standard approach in this kind of technique of shifting awareness and shifting consciousness is that you start with the focus on the breathing and then feel into the circulatory rhythm and the pulsations of the heart and the heartbeat throughout your body. And then you become aware that there are areas of your body which have a pulsation by themselves. And when people train this, most often they then connect this to feeling the pulsations in your muscles. So that you can actually breathe into your muscles. Imagine that you're breathing into the muscles of the arms, breathing into the muscles of the legs, with a purpose that you become sensitive for the pulsations in the muscles of your arms and your legs. You can feel that in your hips, you can feel that in your shoulders, you can feel that in the neck. And in that way, you can actually also discharge charges in muscle groups, so that you can actually use the breathing to inhale into a muscle, feel the muscle, and exhale from the muscle. In a more prominent way, this also works for areas where there are stress or where there are tensions. And in an even more pronounced way, this also works in areas where there are pains, or the opposite of that, where there's a lack of feeling. So in this way, you can then scout and scoot throughout the body, looking for areas in the body, such as muscles, muscle groups. And what you then look for and aim for is to feel how specific muscles respond when you think that you're breathing in and out in that muscle. So in a way, you connect the mental alertness of your brain into that muscle group. So in your brain, you actually link the location of a muscle with the rhythm of the breathing, so that the awareness and the alertness that you have for your breathing can be connected to the sensation of that part of the brain. So you're actually having two brain parts that are linked, so that you can then become more sensitive for those parts of the body where you otherwise would not be able to make much contact with. So you use that, let's call it the synesthesia of your brain, to connect your breathing into parts of the body. And these techniques are so old that they have been known for so many times in so many cultures, that a lot of breathing and self-healing techniques are based on this approach. So once you can feel your breathing in your rib cage and in your abdomen, and then start to feel it in your muscles, then of course you can also feel it in muscle groups, arms, legs, neck, body, torso as a whole, even in the head. And then you can go into a deeper level, because of course if you can feel your muscles, you can also feel your organs. From the abdomen going into the organs is a logical next step, so that you can feel in the area of the abdomen where your organs lie. And if you have no notion of it, find yourself an atlas of anatomy and look it up. Put your hands over those regions and then feel the breathing movement of your hands while you're breathing, and know that underneath that organ that is positioned inside of you in that area is responding to your breathing rhythm as well. Actually, there are very many breathing techniques which make use of the movement of the diaphragm to actually push blood into the organs and back out, so that the organs can be cleansed in that way. And now for the more subtle approach, you can put your hands over the areas where you know that the organs are, and then start to feel the movement of the organs within. Takes time, takes practice, but at some point you can do that. And if you're interested, you can find many descriptions of the yogis who are not just able to do that, but they can also change the flow into the specific organs because they can connect up to it at those levels. Of course, one of your organs is the brain, so you can put your hands very loosely, very lightly on your skull. And same as you can then do for the organs in your body by putting your hands over the ribs or over the abdomen in the area of the organs and feel what's happening in that area and know that the organ is following that pulsation as well, and as a result of which becoming aware of what's happening in the organ. Likewise, you can do that for the brain. And evidently, when you hold your fingers loosely on your skull and you start to feel for the pulsation of your skull, you're actually doing what a cranial sacral massage is doing as well. You start to follow into the rhythm. And what you're doing with this technique as a whole is actually also what craniosacral therapists do. They feel for the rhythm of the body as it is taking place, and then are very careful, very cautious not to interfere with it, not to interrupt it, but to know where the muscle or the brain or the organ would have its normal expansion in its rhythms. So in that sense, you can then feel into the skull, into the pulsation of the skull, and know that the brain is following that pulsation as well. You're then still feeling into the physical movement of the body, and therefore you're still, in a way, surfing along on the rhythms of the pulsations of the body. And in doing that, you then can become aware that you need to be very cautious not to press or to pull those rhythms too much, because you need to get to understand the rhythms of the organs. And once you get there, you will be able to feel that there might be superimposed rhythms, that the rhythm is in fact too strong or too shallow for what the rest of the body seems to be doing, or that it appears as if it is rippled, as if there is other rhythms taking place within it, or that the rhythm is seeming to lag behind the other rhythms as you feel them in the body, or that they're actually too excited or too short compared to the other rhythms in the body. Again, before you get to this level, you will have trained a lot, you have acquired a lot of subtlety, and you will have become aware that the body as a whole is pulsing. And this is then the level where you become aware that the body is hanging on to memories of actions that you did or movements that you have done, which are in a way frozen into the body or superimposed on the body, as a result of which the body has difficulty to have the full freedom in going through the motions that it would normally like to do. And this is where acupuncture and homeopathy, osteopathy, and so many other techniques are able to sense into your body and feel that there are actually these memories interfering with the body as what's then called blockages in the meridian therapy or changes of behavior in homeopathy, or superimposed rhythms or lack of rhythms in osteopathy and those other techniques. But now you can start to feel it for yourself. And the trick is then to be able to let go of the rhythms that are not part of your normal body rhythms, but which are actually memories of things that happened in the past. So this is where you then actually are learning to discern between mind and body, and are able to free the body rhythms from memories and echoes of things that happened in the past. And normally that means that you will relive those memories of the past and will need to let go of them. And you might need to use something like EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, which basically means that you realize that you are reliving something of the past, that it is a memory, and it is not in the present. It is not something you wish to connect up to. It is probably not something you want to have lingering in your body, and so you just let it go. You ask your body to let it go, to give it the way out, to no longer hold on to that for you. When you're at that level, it is a bit as if you're working with a blackboard on which somebody has been writing before and erased some of it, but not all of it. And you need to be able to erase those traces of the memories of the past, but you need to discern that memories of the past are different from feelings of the present. And that's where you then need to be able to be aware of the difference between emotions and feelings. Emotions being anchored by reflexes in the past, and feelings being in the present. Emotions being tense, feelings being free and open. And so this is where you will have to re-educate yourself, first of all, letting go of all the things you believe that you hold to be real, because many of them will turn out to be things that you've been taught, but they're just stories told by somebody else, and you need to actually come into an experience of what is real and what's going on now here. And in many of the massage techniques, the meditation techniques, and the martial arts techniques, these are the exercises to let go of the past. And for example, Tai Chi Chuan, which is a very slow movement of the body, it is actually a movement of the body by which the practitioner can feel if there are tensions or hiccups in the movements of the muscle while that motion is being made. Because if there are hiccups, then that means that there is a memory or an emotion still locked into the system and potentially blocking the system and interfering with the system. And so all of these techniques are meant to get rid of that interference in the body so that the body can be free to respond as a whole. And that's also why these techniques are being trained in martial arts, because once you are free of stress, you'll come to know that the body responds as a whole. And that's also something well known to massage therapists. If people have pains in their body, that's because something got stuck in their body, and the massage therapist then basically block the blockage. They press the pressure, or they put tension on the tension, as a result of which the body can reconnect with something which evidently was noticeable in the past but has become ignored until it could be ignored no longer, because it starts to emerge as a pain or as something that's being worn out, as the doctors would call it, and potentially even fears or despondency and depressions. Do realize that the body doesn't wear out. It is created by living cells. So if the body is not maintained somewhere, it is because there is a tension or a block stored somewhere. And then when you start to massage it, these blockages, their protection shields around them, are noticed as pain. And this is also where, when you have pains, when you start to breathe into those pains, you can activate those blockages so that the old memories are deblocked. You have to realize that whatever you are thinking then is a memory and not something to be held on to, because actually it is interfering with the body and it is interfering with your health and your life. So this is where I can then put the parallel between what you can do with these very subtle breathing techniques in your body, so that you can start to feel the difference between the vital movement of the body as the body is doing it itself, and the movements in your body which got stuck because somehow you did something or thought something or experienced something which was not processed, was not digested at that time, got stuck and stored in the body, and now can be unstuck and unstored, thus released, so that your body can be free of it. And once your body is free of it, same as with the massage, the same as with the other kind of therapeutic techniques, once those memories are no longer locked into your body, your body can start to respond again as a whole. And that is the core of this breathing technique, that first you gradually and subtly start to feel into the body from your breathing rhythm to the blood pulsation rhythm to the movement of your muscles and your organs, even up to the movement of your bones and your brain in your body. And then at that level you can become aware of the difference between the free movement of the body and the areas in the body where the movement is not in that same rhythm or that same strength or that same intensity. And you will feel that, because when you feel for the pulsation of the body by breathing into the body and feeling the body breathe, that there are areas which are moving from one part to the other, or that one part moves more than the other, or that one time one part you feel more than at another time. So in this kind of exercise you then learn to become much more aware of what's going on. One of the important parts of this whole exercise, as I mentioned, this mimics the sleep cycle in going from the conscious to the subconscious to the unconscious to the out of conscious. But it also means that when you start to do these exercises, you're voluntarily going into the parts of the involuntary or the autonomous body system. So the part of the body which you normally trust to do things it's by itself, you start to look at it. And this is also why you have to be so very cautious, because you must not interfere with it. You must not interrupt it. You must become aware of it enough so that you can see that it is happening by itself. And you must become aware enough so that you can notice where you have put things into your memory which are actually interfering with it. But you cannot actively interfere with it, because you're too close to the level where you actually dealing with that functionality of the body, where the body takes care of itself. Compared to a computer user who learns to go into programming mode and then is starting to address assembler code, but in doing that could actually interfere with the computation of the computer while he's working the computer. That's why in computers there are differences built in between those levels, and likewise in our body and mind there are differences built in between those levels. And when you start to do these breathing techniques and start to become aware of what's happening in the body at those deeper levels, you must also learn to shift from saying being a manipulator to being totally and absolutely respectful. Because the manipulations you do is actually in a way asking your body to do actions for you, but you might have started to believe that you're actually doing the actions. Well, you're not. The body is doing that, but it translates and it interprets, just like pets and animals are able to understand what we like to do and participate in that. The body likewise is able to understand what you want to do and participate in that. But if you mistreat it, you will cause the death of your body. So this is why these breathing techniques are so very, let's say, risky. And that's also why these breathing techniques are so much similar, or actually the same as meditation. And that's also why it is very helpful if you practice meditation before you do these kind of breathing techniques, that you are aware of the shifts in consciousness, that you are aware in your choice of awareness, and that you are aware that by your shifts in awareness and by your shifts in consciousness, you can change the way you can address your own consciousness. And that is also why these breathing techniques are being used, so that people can get closer to their body consciousness and further away from their ego consciousness, so that they can learn that whatever they have been starting to believe about themselves, that they are an identity with a name and with a body, and that they can then learn that actually the name is a fiction and the identity is a fiction and the body is the characteristic of the body but not necessarily of you. And so that by these meditative techniques you can then become more aware of your deeper nature and essence of your body by simply focusing on your breathing, and by being attentive to your breathing, essentially learn how the body breathes itself, as the body at the organ level, at the cellular level, and thus as part of a universal process of, let's call it, the breath of the universe. So what I try to describe here is that there is a very powerful link between breathing, different levels of consciousness, and different levels of functioning of the body, and specifically that through breathing you can get in touch with those deeper levels of consciousness of the body, but that you can only do that in full respect of the body, and that in doing that you also will need to have respect that some of the things that you decided to do or some of the experiences that you had are actually not for the body to process. Those are not memories that you need to keep in your body. Those are not memories which are helpful for you or others. You need to learn from it, you need to let go of them, and that's where the meditative part, the editing of your belief system, the editing of your thought processes, is then intimately tied in with this breathing process. And that is also the reason why I described the breathing cycle as an element in the text of mind.scienceoflife.nl, because in learning to use mind and learning to understand mind, there is a level where you need to discern between a mind of you as you think you know yourself, say versus mind of the body as the body knows itself, because it's only then when you can see that those parts of mind are not the same, yet they might be intertwined and interplaying, or maybe even interactive and potentially even interfering, that you need to learn to get rid of those interference patterns. And for that, This breathing approach is very powerful, but it is also something which requires deep respect and great care, and probably a long time for you to actually get into it and get an appreciation of how careful and how subtle this is, but also how powerful and in a way how blunt this is. Because, as I said, it is as if your programmer and working with the assembler code of a computer, whatever you do wrong will go wrong. There is no further excuse about that. So if before that you haven't learned to be respectful and considerate, then in a way you write your own death warrant, simply because you didn't take time to be courteous and cautious in getting to know yourself and getting to understand yourself at those very much more important, deeper levels of your own being. That's also a reason why you find so little descriptions on this, because normally you would have to be initiated at the deeper levels. You would have to learn the meditation, you would have to have learned the healing techniques so that you can appreciate the importance of respect. You would have done the pranayama and other breathing exercises so that you already have a fundamental understanding of the dynamic processes of the body. And once you have all of those things in place, then you can start with this other level, because there is a lot of risk involved. However, if you understand the risks, and if you understand that you're playing with your life, if you understand that your body is your body, and it's up to you to determine what kind of life you live, then you have the choice to learn from your body by being very cautious, very careful, very attentive. As the troubadour said, it is wooing the soul and being very respectful, because this is the love of your life, which you will lose if you are not absolutely considerate. So knowing this, you now know what is possible, you now know the risks involved, and you probably understand that it is a very slow process, but if you're very cautious and very careful, it is a very quick way to deep understanding, and as a result of that deep understanding, you'll shift in awareness from thinking that you were or are you, or confusing you with your body, to an understanding that you are actually universal and can operate at that level, which in India called is the God-man, God-woman, God-human.